When you do Vajrayogini's practice, when you do the 11 yogas, it says specifically in Vajrayogini's teachings that whoever sees you will be planted with Vajrayogini's seeds in their mind. So it in fact encourages you to be in the public eye as much as possible to plant seeds. That's right. So when you receive Vajrayogini's teachings and you start doing her practice and you do her mantra as you are, do you know that every person that sees you get Vajrayogini planted in their mind? What does that mean? Vajrayogini planted in their mind means you plant the seed, the karmic seed of Vajrayogini in their mind stream. So in the future, when their karma ripens, they will receive the Vajrayogini teachings also, and they will be able to practice. That's what it means. Imagine just walking around Center Point, Wan Yu, just walking around Bukit Bintang, just walking around Jalan Alor. You're helping people on the highest level. That's what it says in Vajrayogini's teachings. So how do we train for that? Control your body, speech, and mind now. You see, controlling is a negative word. Controlling is not a matter of controlling. Controlling is a matter of just transforming for something better because you know you can do better. When you say control, it gives the insinuation that you just control it, but it can come out of control anytime. That's a negative word. Familiarization, that's a better word. So Vajrayogini's teachings, Vajrayogini's practice, Vajrayogini's 11 yogas, are so profound. It is so profound. It's unbelievable. And you can bless people. You may think, well, who's going to come to me for blessings? Stop thinking like that. You don't have to bless people putting your hands on their head. By even talking to people and being near them when you have Vajrayogini's practice, you bless their mind. You know what? Even with Vajrayogini's practice, listen, okay? Even with Vajrayogini's practice, if you scold someone, you are planting Vajrayogini's seeds in their mind. That's why Vajrayogini's face is like this. She uses wrathful means, one of her methods, to plant seeds. Some people, you just have to scream or they won't even look at you. So you scream your head off, you leave, Vajrayogini's seed is there, you say, see you later. So as you're walking away, you're not even angry, but you look angry. You literally. And while you're doing that, you're reciting the mantra. You put the seed in their mind, you can beat the crap out of them. Just beat the crap out of them. And while you're beating crap out of them, you're giving Vajrayogini, 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 Vajrayogini. And they're going to run away and they're going to hate you. And you say, this lama, this person is a monster. Bye. Yeah, but sooner or later, they'll come across Vajrayogini. Because that was the only way to help them. And as you're going away, you're going, they will never know. Some people are like that. And you can do that through Vajrayogini's mind. And they may go away forever in this life, but they will meet up with Vajrayogini again. They will meet. They will definitely meet. That's called the practice of Tantra, using anger on the path. Meaning, using the angry or wrathful method. So when we do that in Tibet, people go like, that's the law. We do that here, Bukhya Mantan. It's true. When the lamas do that, so the lamas' methods here is very much reduced. Very much. Because people even say, okay, I give up. Okay, I go away. No, I don't want it anymore. I've had enough. I'm not ready anymore. Bye. Oh, I don't want to. They always say that. Because their understanding of Dharma is not there. Tantra is very, very powerful. Sarangji was famous for scolding and beating your karma away. Famous. If people heard you got beaten by Sarangji, they would say, oh, they really would say that. You are very lucky. You must have almost died, or you must have a disease. They'll say that immediately. You must have had a disease, or you must be going to die soon. And Sarangji removed the obstacle for you to practice Dharma. You're so lucky. They'll say that immediately. Sarangji used to kiss me. He kissed me on the lips. He held me. We stood up together. He held me face to face, and he kissed me on the lips, and he held me. And I felt so dirty, and I thought, I dare not do this. Never. Because I felt gross, and I had orange hair, I had blue contacts, you know, I was wearing, you know, Vidal Sassoon jeans or whatever it was, Calvin Klein, and I was just this skinny, ugly punk, you know. And this high lama would stand up and hold me, he would hold me, and he would put his lips on my lips and give me a kiss. And let me tell you, I told that to another Rinpoche when I went to Dharamsala. Shaka Rinpoche, he says, oh my God, he fold his hands and says, "You are so lucky. You are so lucky." He says, "My faith in Sarangji went up even higher. Much higher. Because he believes very strongly in Sarangji. Pass me something. Bless me with something." Because we couldn't talk much unless with the translator of our hands. That was it. From time to time, Sarangji would stand up, give me a hug, and kiss me on my lips. It felt like my grandfather saying goodbye. Or doing something else. I think it happened twice. Twice or three times. It was amazing. It was totally amazing. Sarangji, living Hebrew God, used to kiss me. And from time to time, Sarangji would let me massage his head. When his attendant walked in, the attendant was like, "Oh." I thought, "Oh, what did I do wrong?" When I left, the attendant says, "How did that happen? Did you ask or what?" I said, "Sarangji said like this." And I went. And Sarangji went. So I went. I washed my hand, I went. Because I, just in case I misunderstood the sign language, I went to his head and I went. Then he went like this, I went. He went like that, I went. So I really did a good massage. Then after I finished, without Sarangji looking, I took my hand, I wiped it all over my head. Everything. I wanted his oil, I wanted his, you know, everything. Shakti, the face oil. I took everything, I wiped it all over my head like this, and I wiped it like that. And I just thought, absorb all along. I didn't want to wash my hand, so I went out. And the attendant told me, "Sarangji, even me," he says, "doesn't allow me to touch his head. Ever." He says, "I've never seen this." He got a shock. He says, "I don't know what he's doing or why he's allowing you, but wow." That's the kind of relationship I have with Sarangji. So what am I saying to you? I don't know what I'm saying, but I know something happened. I don't know exactly what. But maybe that's why today I'm able to have a good relationship with my students. And I'm able to get close, and I'm being supported, and I'm able to help so much. Maybe because of this relationship, Sarangji, that I served him well. The point, stop making restrictions, because most of our restrictions, listen, most of our restrictions is a manifestation of our attachments. Don't make restrictions. Let your body do the moving. Let your body do the teaching. Let your facial expressions do the teaching. Let your eyes convert people to Lama Tsongkhapa. Let your speech be a nectar that flows into people's minds and gives them solace and knowledge and hope. Very important. So therefore, whatever practices your Lama has assigned to you, whatever practices you've been deficient, whatever practices you know you need to do, don't complain it's difficult. Don't glamorize it. Don't make a big deal. Just do it. Because you can bring many people to the Dharma on this level. Many people. And in the future, when some of you receive the empowerment of Ajugini, really, whom I received from the direct disciple of Kechpa Bonka, the amazing things you can do with this practice and what you can accomplish is beyond your imagination, beyond what you can ever think. You will never be the same again. Never.